We're going to be in Matthew chapter 14, beginning in verse 22. And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him onto the other side while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with the waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the water. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a spirit." And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid." And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water." And he said, "Come." And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, "O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?" And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, "Of a truth, thou art the Son of God." And when they were gone over, and I will stop there. Would you join me in a word of prayer? And I want to speak to you on this topic, sailing in stormy weather. Father, in the mighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I pray right now for everyone under the sound of our voice. And I pray, God, that your word, God, would go forth. Lord, under the anointing of your Holy Spirit, it would be impactful. It would be life-changing. God, your word, you said, when you send it forth out of your mouth, will not return to you void, but it will prosper in the place where you send it. Father, we ask in the name of Jesus that your word would prosper in our hearts this morning, that we would be stirred, we would be spoken to, our faith, God, would be ignited. And Lord, we would take a hold of what we hear. We would act, God, because faith isn't just a warm feeling in our hearts. Faith is seen in our action, that we would act upon your word this morning. We ask in Jesus' mighty name. And everybody said, amen and amen and amen. Sailing in stormy weather. If you haven't noticed, that's exactly what we're doing. Amen. And so did the disciples. I want you to apply this message this morning to any individual stormy weather that you may be sailing in, as well as the national and actually international stormy weather that we are sailing in. Amen? And if you think about it, this thing, this crisis that is taking place in our community, in our state, in our nation, is a worldwide crisis. Stormy weather. Christians are sailing, and others who don't know Christ are at least trying to sail in stormy weather. The disciples found themselves in stormy weather. It was unexpected. They had not planned for it. They probably would have expected that their sailing would be as smooth as could be, because though the master was not with them in the ship, he sent them to go while he went into the mountains to pray. They are doing the will of God. Certainly, the seas will be as calm as any sea could be. Certainly, their journey will be with great ease. Certainly, if the Lord has sent them to go to the other side, there must be a work there to do after they have crossed the sea. And so the sea is just kind of a necessary thing to travel smoothly across, that they might go on about the master's business and do what he has them to do next after this journey. It's certainly going to be easy to get there, right? Well, I didn't hear any amens, because you and I know that that is not necessarily the case at all. And generally, when we are sent by the Master to sail a certain direction, we are generally going to face contrary winds of some sort. That's exactly what they found as they were out in the midst of the sea. It tells us of the struggle they were having. The ship was tossed with the waves out in the midst of the sea. In my mind's eye, I see this dark, bleak night. Since it's storming, there's probably not stars and so forth. It's dark, it's foggy, it's such that, you know, it's kind of a scary scenario, and the ship is being tossed about. It's a dangerous situation, and they are deeply troubled, and they are working hard, but it's a fight. The wind is contrary to them. The word contrary means opposite, opposed as an adversary, hostile, antagonistic in feeling and act. It is an opponent. I would have to say that the sudden arising of COVID-19, the coronavirus, is a deterrent to us. It is contrary winds. When the church cannot freely gather together, that's difficulty that we're not looking to face, didn't expect to face, and it can be something, it clearly is something, that works against us. Somebody said, we're just beginning to see a great move of the Spirit. Somebody said just 3 or 4 weeks ago, we had more individuals in church. And not that numbers mean something, but when God is moving in hearts, it means a lot. We had probably more individuals in church than we had since our dedication service over 7 years ago, as far as I can recall. Maybe there's been a couple of special services where we had more, but that was our largest Sunday morning attendance. The next week we had 15 people because of all this that has started. The people from work release cannot even come. Right? Now, thank God I heard there's a chaplain going in today, and I hope and I trust and pray that they're anointed by God and have something to bring to these people. And people in prisons, people in nursing homes feel like they're in prison. People are locked in. And we have the smallest numbers able for, and I don't criticize that at all. Everybody is doing what they feel they could and should, and protecting themselves as we should, right? But we have the smallest numbers of people in church services that we've had in a long time. This is not on the surface helpful. This storm is opposing winds. It is an adversary to us, but that can be turned around and we can make it work for us. The Bible says in Romans 8:31, what shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who then can be against us? Just as the contrary winds in the storm really turned out to be a great opportunity and testimony of what God can do in the midst of hard times, that's exactly what God would want to do now. And it is important for us to direct our focus and our attention to where it should be and press into God. Let this bring us to our knees like never before. Now, there are those who say this is the beginning of this or that or something else, and it is possible that this is the prelude or even the introduction to things that are coming. I will not say this is this or this is that if I don't know. But I do know what we face. It was interesting to me last night. I happened to check something, maybe a message I wanted to look at or listen to or something. And I saw all these preachers, and many of them, thank God, doing exactly what they should do. What we're doing this morning, addressing the situation from a biblical standpoint. But I noticed many of them were saying, God spoke to me last night and told me thus and thus about the coronavirus. And I'm not saying God doesn't speak to people, and I'm not saying he wouldn't raise up prophets in the middle of this. But it seemed like most of the ones that I saw at a glance that were saying something like that, rather than preaching the word of God as to how, which many others were doing, as to how the Christian should focus on this, one, for example, said, God told me last night that this is going to be a lot shorter than we think. And that person that said that is a false prophet. The doctrine that they teach is contrary to the fundamentals of the faith. And most of the people that I looked at this glance, and this is no a professional poll or anything of that nature, but most of the ones that I looked at that were saying something like that, were those who I know that the fundamentals of their teaching are false. Those who are solid in the Bible are still teaching the Bible. Amen. And that's the primary source we look to. I believe in the gifts of the Spirit of God. I believe God will raise up prophets. I believe God will speak to us, and he can speak to you as a person. But I think the first and foremost thing we must go to is the Word of God, not some prophet on YouTube that says, God told me last night. And when you teach false teaching and you're not solid in the Bible, that means nothing to me. In fact, if anything, I suspect probably the reverse is going to happen, but I don't know, right? But you understand, we don't know what will happen. I hope in a few weeks, I pray in a few weeks, that this will all blow over and everything will go back to normal, which is really only a setting on the dryer anyway. Right? There really is no such thing as normal. It's just a setting on the dryer. But I hope and pray. I don't like this any more than any of us do. And I'm not the person who says, man, I'm up for a big challenge. I like things to be easy. That's just me, okay? Things may go back to the way they are. Things may go as bad or as badly as some of the experts out there are saying. Nobody on this planet of themselves really knows. But God, who we serve, knows. Can you say amen? God, who we serve, knows, and he holds us and the future in the palm of his hand. As I was painting yesterday in Mary's future apartment, I was thinking about storms in the lives of people, individual storms in the lives of people that I love and pastor and am praying for. I was thinking about this international storm that is affecting us in America, where we've become so cushy and accustomed to everything being okay and having a security, really, albeit a false security if it's in our country rather than our Christ. But as I was thinking about these things and the stormy times, a song began to come in my mind and my heart, and I began to sing as I worked out loud. Nobody was right there, so they didn't go running holding their hands over their ears when I began to sing. But the Lord was there and I was there and I knew the Lord was stirring this in my heart. You know the song. If you would like to humor me, maybe if you know it, you can join in with me once I get started. The song is Jesus Now More Than Ever. Jesus Now More Than Ever. We are sailing in stormy weather. All God's children should get together. Oh, we need Jesus now more than ever. In the book of Revelation, read about the tribulation. We are heading in that direction. Only Jesus' blood can give protection. Jesus now, more than ever. We are sailing in stormy weather. All God's children should get together. Oh, we need Jesus now more than ever. I got off key on that last phrase of that verse because I never knew that phrase existed and I didn't sing it with that statement in there, and it just didn't go quite right there. But it is true that only Jesus' blood can give protection. Amen? We are sailing in stormy weather. As God's children, we must get together. Only Jesus' blood, as it said, right? As I repeat now, only Jesus' blood gives protection. Now, we would look and say in the book of Revelation, it tells of the tribulation. Amen? We're heading in that direction, and this reminds us that we're heading there. We were heading there when this didn't happen. But it reminds us, however far away that is, we are heading there. Only Jesus' blood can give protection. Can you say amen? I am glad that I belong to Christ. I am glad that He is coming back for us one day. We're going to be taken out of this temporary, messed up world system, and we're going to be with Him forever. We will rule and reign with Him for 1,000 years. This moment in time is not going to matter when we are in eternity. Except that it may have done something in our lives because we chose to let it do something. Because we chose to believe in our hearts that as we are sailing in stormy weather, we need Jesus more than ever. And we use the situation to bring us to our knees, to bring us to faith like we've never had before. We use the situation as opportunity to get a hold of God and let God get a hold of us to place our faith squarely and securely where it should be, and we use the opportunity as God directs us to minister into the hearts and lives of others. And it may be that while this won't matter at all down the road, it'll matter how we reacted to it. And the lasting work that God will do in our lives as we're crossing over the sea, fully aware we will get to the other side. Amen. But the work that He's done in our life is the only thing that's really going to matter when it's all behind us. I'd like to mention 4 things this morning that we really can learn from this text that we must do right now as we are sailing in stormy weather. Would that be all right? The first thing is, we must rein in our fears. We must rein in our fears. Now, taking reasonable precautions or precautions that we're being asked to take is not fear. It's why we do it that can be fear or wisdom. Amen? But clearly at a time like this, we can become
fearful. We can become a germaphobe that if we see a tissue, we think it's going to jump out and attack us with coronavirus. Somebody sneezes and the world has come to an end. Oh no, I've got to go wash my hands. I've got to take a bath. I'm probably going to die. Don't let that kind of fear grip your heart. Rein in your fears, whatever they are. Amen? Use wisdom, but rein in your fears. Reining in the fears out on the ship that these guys were on, the disciples were on, did not mean they're not going to navigate the boat. Oh, we trust God, which they didn't trust God. But if they did, if Jesus didn't have to say to them afterwards, you know, why were you so afraid? Where is your faith? Those kind of things, right? That's not an exact quote, but that's basically what he said. If he didn't have to say that because they maintained their faith and everything, we wouldn't see that they would say, oh, we have faith in God. And so just let the boat drift wherever it goes. Get off of that, you know, I don't know if it probably would have had a steering wheel or probably would have had really, they would have controlled the direction of the boat by controlling the sails. But however they directed the boat and whatever they did, faith in God wouldn't be, oh, let's just sit here and let the boat be tossed wherever it goes. In fact, the winds were contrary because they were doing everything in their power to go the way the Lord said to go. And if they changed direction, it wouldn't have been contrary. Have you ever noticed when the pressures are on and you're gripped with fear, the devil will tell you, you must quickly do something. And you quickly respond and you do something that isn't the will of God, takes you away from the will of God. You change direction from what sometimes even the Bible would tell you is the will of God. And you change direction and all of a sudden you have peace. And the devil says, oh, that's God. Sometimes you have peace because you're not dealing with your fears and facing them and going through with God. You've just thrown everything up to the wind and you've changed direction. You let the enemy sometimes even convince you this is what God wants you to do. And when you see you have a peace because you got out from under the pressure that you couldn't handle, rather than giving it to Jesus, you get out from under it, you change direction. Never change direction when the pressure's hot and heavy and assume it's God. Remember what David did when he was under intense pressure. If you aren't familiar with the story, I believe it's about 1 Samuel chapter 27. David had been fleeing for his life and narrowly escaping with his life for a long season as Saul was out to kill him. But God was protecting David. It wasn't easy. It wasn't fun. He didn't want to be, if you will, in that stormy weather. But God never failed him. But David lost his faith, or we might say, chose an easier path. I believe it's 1 Samuel 27. It may not be the right chapter. We can look it up later. But where David said in his heart, God didn't speak to David. David weighed the situation and made his own decision in his heart apart from the leadings of God. But no doubt believed God was leading him. And no doubt believed he received confirmation afterwards. David said in his heart, I will now one day perish by the hand of Saul. That's not true. God promised him a future after Saul. But he said in his heart, I will now one day perish. The circumstances and his fear rather than his faith told him he's going to perish. Then he said, there is nothing better for me to do than to speedily escape into the land of the Philistines. Saul will despair of pursuing me and basically I'll be safe and everything will be okay. That's not a quote on that last part. So David decided, I can't handle the pressure anymore. I'm going to choose that there's another direction I'm supposed to go. I decide in my heart to take that direction. And guess what? When he did take that direction and he fled to the land of the Philistines, which you notice he felt he had to do it speedily. There's not time to pray about it. I got to get out of this situation now. We'll pray later. And as he fled and went to the land of the Philistines, exactly what he thought would happen, happened. He's out from under the situation. He's got peace. He's relaxed. Saul isn't pursuing him anymore. It looks for a year and 4 months, if I have my time correctly. I didn't read this before church. Haven't read it in weeks, maybe months. But if I have my time correctly, everything looked great for a year and 4 months. He didn't have to flee from Saul once. But he had left the will of God, and eventually everything came crashing in on him. Thank God for a merciful God that raised him up in the midst of that and brought him back to where he was supposed to be one day in the future. But I want to tell you something, that wasn't an easy journey, but it looked easy because he got out from under the pressures he'd been facing. But he was believing a lie to do it. Didn't mean he wasn't in danger. Didn't mean the situation wasn't real. But God had a plan to lead him through. God's plan wasn't for him to run away and do it his way. But David no doubt believed in his heart, where he had said, there's nothing better for me to do. He no doubt believed he was doing exactly what God wanted him to do. And he no doubt believed he got confirmation, because he couldn't handle being there anymore. But he could handle this just fine. When we make our decisions based on our feelings, when you can't handle it, don't change direction. Run to the director. Can you say amen? When you can't handle it, determine you will not change direction until the director tells you to do so. And run to him. Because what you can't handle, he didn't say, I'll just help you. You won't have to face anything you can't handle. He said, I will give you grace. My grace is sufficient for you. Can you say amen? We must rein in our fears. You'll notice in the passage that we read in Matthew's gospel, it repeats on numerous occasions how fearful the disciples or Peter were. It says that when they saw Jesus walking on the water, they supposed that they had seen a spirit, and they cried out for fear. The Greek word is phobos. You recognize anything there? Phobia? They had phobia, fear, dread, terror, that which strikes terror. They were gripped with fear. And they're just looking at Jesus. But they're not seeing clearly. In the midst of your fear, you don't see clearly. You and I better run with our fear to the one who does. Can you say amen? Now their fear, and you see it repeated again. You see that Jesus told them, don't be afraid. You see that when he called for Peter to walk on the water, and Peter began to sink when he saw the wind boisterous. It says in verse 30, but when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. Their fear was truly unwarranted, as fear always is. Right? Because Jesus was in control. We'll see that later. But their fear also made things worse. It made them think Jesus was a spirit who was out to harm them. It made Peter think he was going to drown at sea, and he began to drown. It made things worse internally. It made things worse in the situations that happened, because they weren't trusting at that moment. They were giving over to their fear. Amen. I heard a quote this morning on the radio on the way into work, and I don't have it exactly, but it was basically, if you feed
your faith, it will quell and conquer your fear. But if you feed your fear, it will conquer your faith. Amen? Now, I paraphrased it a little because I couldn't remember it exactly. But it's very close to that. And what I've just said is very true. How do I rein in my fears? Place your faith and trust in Jesus. Feed that. Don't feed your fear. Amen. We're going to see reasons as we go on why that's not just a good idea. That is something we can go to the bank with. Because it is not necessary. If we're to believe the Word of God, if we're to believe that we are held in the palm of Jesus' hand, if that's really true, if it's not, what are we doing here? If that's true, then no matter what's going on around us, we have no reason to fear. 10,000 can fall by our side. But we're not going to be afraid because we trust in the Lord. Can you say amen? And what a beautiful thing if the world can see that while we are wise and obedient and do what we should, we're not gripped with fear because we have someone inside of us who gives us faith.
That's right.
Brothers and sisters, this is nothing compared to what's coming upon the earth. This is nothing compared to what our brothers and sisters are facing in China, in Arab countries. Did you know that persecution against the church and martyrdom today, 21st century, is at a higher rate per capita of Christians than it has ever been since the beginning of the church, since the crucifixion of Christ? You probably, if you haven't heard that, you're probably like, oh no, it can't be. It is. It's a statistical fact. We just don't face it here yet. I hope we never do. But if we do, we've got to ride our storm. Can you say amen? The way we're learning to now. And Jesus will never fail us. I hear people, we had a conversation with Charles and Karen the other day. It was just a comment I'll never forget that he told me he heard a preacher say. And we were talking about how things can get. Please, I'm not saying they will. I hope this all blows over in 4 or 5 weeks. Right? I hope the economy recovers. I hope, you know, but things are eventually going to get worse in this world. And a lot of times Christians will say, man, if it comes down to martyrdom, and you don't have to believe, and I don't, that we're going to be here through the Great Tribulation to believe that martyrdom is possible. It's already happening all around the world. And the Great Tribulation hasn't come. The rapture hasn't taken place. So let's get our heads out of the sand and realize we're sailing in stormy weather, and it can, don't say Pastor John said it will right now, but it can get worse. And I've often heard, and I think it's a legitimate thing, my wife said, I hope if I was facing torturedom or martyrdom for my faith, I hope I would be able to stand. And we were saying that. And if you are sure you can, you've got a problem. Amen? If you're certain you can, you're the one I worry about the most. But I want to say this, when you would think about, what if I face those things and I can't stand against it? Understand this. You think you wouldn't be able to stand against it, or you worry about it because you don't have the grace right now to face something that hasn't come yet. But what Charles heard a preacher say when he was talking about things was this. Look for real-time grace. God is faithful. The Bible says so. God will give you the grace you need if you're committed to Him and to doing what is right and what you must and your allegiance to Him is what you're committed to, He will give you not the grace now to face that. He'll give you real-time grace. And if you've been living following Christ for any amount of time, you've already experienced real-time grace. The last time I experienced it was when the threat of losing the eyesight in my left eye suddenly faced me. I was planning to go about my day and didn't even want them to do a test to look at it. And when he did, he found my retina was tearing and I needed immediate attention. If you told me I'm going to face that, I would say, man, I hope I can handle that. But when I had to face it, I had real-time grace. Amen? I had peace. Because God doesn't give you the grace ahead, but He will work your faith to the point that you need through the situations you're facing now. We need real-time grace right now, and it's available. We must rein in our fears. The Bible tells us, be not afraid, Proverbs 3:25, be not afraid of sudden fear, neither of the desolation of the wicked when it comes. Think about that. Do not be afraid. Do not be gripped with fear, right? Because of sudden fear. Sudden means it's surprising. You did not know and suddenly it's there. Think about it. Just a few days ago, we were saying we have the strongest economy in the world. We have, and I was saying this is the strongest economy I believe that we have had in my lifetime, my 60 years. I remember years ago, the talk was that you can never get the unemployment rate below 3%. There's always going to be a percentage that are unemployed no matter how many jobs there are. And we have had unemployment that was down in the vicinity of 3% nationwide. We've had the strongest economy, a robust stock market. Everything is looked so good and for the moment was so good, and within a few days, I am hearing financial experts saying it's possible that we could face 20% unemployment. Can you imagine? I'm not saying that's true, but if experts are saying that, they know everything. But you get my point. Everything that we were secure in, everything we were thankful for, all the prosperity that seemed to be, it's just going to keep going on. Our president said, you're going to get so tired of winning because you're going to win and you're going to win and you're going to win. And I believe his policies were helping the economy and so forth. Nobody could have known, I say that tongue in cheek, but as far as I know, nobody could have known this was coming. But suddenly, we're talking about the possibility. We've seen one of the largest crashes in the stock market, perhaps the largest that has happened in my lifetime. We're seeing the even possibility, according to some financial experts, maybe only one, but he's an expert, of 20% unemployment. Wow, suddenly all of our security is taken out from us and we're not secure anymore. Can I tell you a secret? We weren't any more secure a month ago than we are now. We just thought we were. Amen. If our security rests in a thriving economy, in governmental policies that are making the economy thrive and low unemployment rates and low interest rates and things are just looking like they're going to go from good to better. If our security was in that, then yes, our security fell out from under us in a couple of days. Think about it. Perhaps this is as great as what happened in the lifetime of our parents and grandparents, or really, depending on how old your parents or grandparents during the Great Depression. I don't know if they had 20% unemployment during that time or not. I wasn't there and I haven't looked it up. And I'm not saying we will have. But suddenly Americans are gripped with fear.
Amen? Suddenly everything they were resting in and had confidence in and were secure about is taken out from under them. And people are wondering, some people are wondering, when will I go back to work? Some are wondering, will I lose my job? Some are wondering, will the economy ever come back? And fear is gripping the hearts of people. Listen, you and I have no less security than we had a month ago. We just may think we have less if our security is rooted in a political system, an economic system, a country, anything of this world. But thank God we made a decision a long time ago that I'd rather have Jesus than all that this world can offer. And our hope and our trust and our confidence and our security is in the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And so we're just as secure today, resting in the palm of Jehovah Jireh, as we were yesterday when we were resting in the palm of Jehovah Jireh. Can you say amen? You understand what I'm saying? Which brings me to the second point. Not only rein in your fears, but we may have to realign our confidence. Realign our confidence. Some of us, unknown to ourselves, were more confident in the way things were going than in the one who we serve. And it doesn't show itself until things aren't going so good, and now we're sailing in stormy weather. It's a good time now. Rein in our fears and then realign our confidence. Stop and make sure that all of our confidence is placed in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who carries us through this life and will carry us to eternity. Can you say amen? This is a great time to realign our confidence. The psalmist said in Psalm 56 and verse 3, "What time I am afraid, I will trust," means be confident in thee. If you and I are struggling with the tendency, I look at the little ones, and it's so important we talk to them. It's so important we don't just get so caught up in everything that's going on that we forget about them, that we don't sit and explain to them. They have questions, they have fears, they don't understand, they hear things. At some point we tell them, look, we belong to Jesus, we're going to be okay. We're just going to get closer to Him and He's going to take care of us. Amen? It's so important we quell their fears with regard to the facts about coronavirus, not what they might be hearing from their friends that used to be at school with them. Because I guess most kids aren't going to school anymore right now, right? I don't know, maybe in Wichita some are. I'm not a kid. But we need to talk to them. Help calm their fears. Pray with them. Reassure them. Nothing's any different. We're still trusting only in Jesus, and He will never fail us. Great is His faithfulness. His mercies and compassion are new every morning. It's because of Him that we're not consumed, not because of something in this world. Can you say amen? So we have to realign our confidence. Thirdly, and let me backtrack and say this. Peter had some self-confidence, right? He had some self-confidence, but it didn't hold up. Oh, let me step out into the boat if it's you. He's always the one to jump in, right? And by the grace of God, he walked on the water for a time, but then he got his eyes on the circumstances and began to sink. We don't want self-confidence. We don't want earthly confidence. We want a confidence in Christ. Thirdly, renew your focus. Is our focus being freshly renewed where it should be? You notice when Peter lost his focus, he steps out of the boat. Now, the boat would seem like a place of security, but there's really no security in that boat in the midst of the storm. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. Can you say amen? And so it is reasonable that at the voice of the Lord saying, Peter, come, Peter stepped out of the boat. I promise you I won't step off the platform, but he stepped out of the boat. and started by the grace of God, by the power of Jesus Christ, he started walking on the water in obedience to Christ. Can I tell you that by the grace of God, we can not only sail in stormy weather, we can walk on with Jesus in the midst of the storms. And if he's bidden you come, keep your focus and your eyes and your faith and your attention not on everything primarily that's going on around you, but primarily on Christ. If we start looking at everything that's going on and forget what God has told us, lose our attention on Christ rather than renewing our attention on Christ at this time, we'll start to sink. As Peter did. Thank God the Lord is there to rescue. We must keep our focus on three things. God's Son. God's Son, Jesus Christ. We must keep our focus on God's work. We may not be able to do everything we would think we would do in the work of God at this moment, but there are always opportunities, and God was never surprised by what's happened. There are always opportunities to be doing God's work. We don't have time to sit around and be fearful and blue and all kind of stuff. Let's be busy about the Master's business. How can I touch someone right now? You may not be able to go to work release, but you can say, Pastor John, do those guys have phone numbers that I could call them and encourage them? Or does the pastor do all of that? Of course not. We all chip in and do our part. And yes, I'm certain there's not one of those guys that would mind me sharing their phone number with everybody here and would love to hear from us all. Maybe next week we're cooped up in our houses and can only leave for necessary things that they set forth. But your phone still works. Can you say amen? Call somebody. Brother, you're in a worse situation than I am. But I'm here to pray with you and encourage you in Jesus. You don't have to tell them they're in a worse situation. You know that, okay? And they probably know that too. In fact, the devil may be telling them, look at all those people out there that get to be with their families and their friends. Maybe not their friends, but their families, right? And here I am locked in this place and nobody cares. And your phone call says, you know what? Right when I was feeling like nobody cared, Jesus inspired one of his children to call me and encourage me. Lord, you do care. Can you say amen? Renew your focus on God's Son, on God's work, and on God's plan. God's plan is to see you and I through to eternity. Philippians 1:6, being confident, Brother George, amen. Being confident, brothers and sisters, amen. Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you, will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. It means he will keep on performing it. Stormy weather doesn't stop him from performing his work in your life. He will keep on performing it. And unto what point will he keep performing it? Until things get really bad? No, until the day of Jesus Christ, we must remember that God's plan involves that Christ is coming in the clouds to snatch his people up out of this world and take them to ever be with him in heaven. Can you say amen? And we will return at the battle of Armageddon with Christ and rule and reign here with him for 1,000 years. Never will our lives, our spiritual walk, be in any jeopardy whatsoever. We will be eternally with him. His plan is to come back for you and me. We must keep our focus. Renew our focus on God's plan. The last thing, and I will close very quickly here in a few moments. The last thing is we must remember whose
in charge. Reigning in your fear means nothing if we don't remember who's in charge. Amen. Realigning your confidence doesn't help in the least if you don't know and remember who is in charge. Renewing your focus is impossible to do if you and I do not remember who is in charge. I want you to read with me verse 32 in this text in Matthew. And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. Aren't you glad that Jesus is finally now at this point in charge of the storm? We know that because the wind ceased. Jesus was in charge of the storm the whole time. When the storm was at its worst, Jesus was showing his best in the behalf of his disciples. Can you say amen? Jesus walking on the water. Jesus is not worried in the least. He is in control. It's not that he suddenly gained control of the circumstances. He was in control all along. It's just that they now knew that he's in control because the moment he decided the storm is over, it's over. Somebody said, oh, I'll know the Lord is in control if he steps in and stops all this mess going on in the world. Listen, he may not stop all this mess that's going on in the world. Sadly, most people aren't following him. Amen? Sadly, many are going down the road that leads to destruction, and comparatively few are following Jesus, though there's a great multitude of true Christians. Make no mistake about it. But compared to those who are on the broad road that leads to destruction, we are in the minority. Amen. We know how the end works out for us. We know who is in charge of every circumstance we face. We know that we can rest in the palm of God's hand. That if for some reason, and you know there are reasons, biblical reasons even, we can talk about that at some times things are going to come upon this earth that God is not going to step in and stop. But if for some reason God does not stop the storm, He's still in charge of the storm and He holds you in the palm of His hand and you and I can go through the storm with our eyes upon Jesus and He will never fail us. Whether He stops the storm or not, He is in charge. Get ready to come, Brother Charles, if you would, please. He's in charge. And you note that they made it over on to the other side. And there was work to do on the other side. We've got to remember that God is in charge. I had a conversation the other day, brief conversation. We were discussing business with somebody. I was discussing business with another individual. And I said, boy, these are strange times, the things that are going on. And this person says, yes, it's like they've forgotten who's in charge. And it's not a person that runs around, you know, claiming to be born again. They may be, but they don't talk about this kind of thing all the time. But they said it's like they've forgotten who's in charge. I will not forget who is in charge. And I will rejoice as I sail in stormy weather because I know who the conductor of the boat is. It's not you, it's not me. I know who the one in our lives as Christians is who's calling the shots and seeing us through and in charge. I know who holds me in the palm of His hands because He lives and I live in Him. I can face tomorrow with confidence and security. Can you say amen? But let's use this situation to draw close, to draw near to God, and He will draw near to us. Remember who's in charge as you stand to your feet and stretch your hands toward heaven and worship Him. Father, in the mighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ, oh, help us to see Jesus walking on the water. Help us, Lord, to rein in our fears. Help us, Lord, to realign our confidence and renew our focus, but especially, God, to remember that You are in control of our lives. The Apostle Paul, Lord, said, I know whom I've believed, and I'm persuaded that He's able to keep that which I've committed to Him until that day. We worship You, Lord, as they worshiped You when the storm stopped. We're going to worship You and praise You while we're in the middle, sailing in stormy weather. We're not going to wait until You've stopped the problems, or, Lord, we don't even know if You will. We're going to praise You. We're going to worship You. We're going to enjoy Jesus. We're going to rejoice that we are part of the kingdom of God, the family of God, and that the church of God is going through, and we have opportunity, God, to minister faith in Christ to someone else by our demeanor, by our hearts, Lord, and at times with our words in the midst of these stormy seas that we are sailing on. Help us, Father, to rest in Jesus' name. Lift your hands and worship Jesus Christ. Give Him glory, give Him praise, give Him honor. Hallelujah. In your heart, lift your heart up to God. God, I plant my feet firm in You. With Your help, I will trust in You. Lord, we're safe in stormy weather. But thank God, we're sailing in Christ. Thank God, we're Your children. Lord, we trust You. We trust You.